Chapter 51, Youth Leadership. Form a happy acquaintance with your youth. Very much has been lost to the cause of God because of inattention to the young. Ministers of the gospel should form a happy acquaintance with the youth of their congregations. There is a great reluctance on the part of many to become acquainted with the youth, but it is accounted of heaven a neglect of duty, a sin against souls for whom Christ died. The youth are objects of Satan's special attacks, and the manifestation of kindness, courtesy, tender sympathy, and love, will often work the salvation of those who are under the temptations of the evil one. The love of Jesus will win you an entrance into the hearts of the young, and when you have obtained the confidence of the youth, they will listen to your words and take your counsel. You should bind them to your heart by the cords of love, and then instruct them how to labor in the cause of God. The youth may labor for their young companions in a quiet, unpretending way. This branch of God's work must not be neglected. Our churches are not doing what they might do for the youth. There seems to be no burden for souls for whom Christ died. Why should this labor for the youth in our borders not be thought the highest of missionary work? Why do the ministers leave the young without endeavoring to win them to Christ? Why do they not urge the young to give their hearts to God? This work will require the most delicate tact, the most thoughtful consideration, the most earnest prayer that heavenly wisdom may be imparted, for connected with the church are those who are not ignorant of our faith, yet whose hearts have never been touched by the power of divine grace. Love will reach the hearts of even apparently hopeless youth. The Lord is not glorified when the children are neglected and passed by. They are to be educated, disciplined, and patiently instructed. They require more than casual notice, more than a word of encouragement. They need painstaking, prayerful, careful labor. The heart that is filled with love and sympathy will reach the hearts of the youth who are apparently careless and hopeless. Christ is grieved with every harsh, severe, and inconsiderate word spoken to children. Let the kindness and courtesy of the minister be seen in his treatment of children. He should ever bear in mind that they are miniature men and women, younger members of the Lord's family. These may be very near and dear to the Master, and, if properly instructed and disciplined, will do service for him, even in their youth. Christ is grieved with every harsh, severe, and inconsiderate word spoken to children. Their rights are not always respected, and they are frequently treated as though they had not an individual character which needs to be properly developed, that it may not be warped and the purpose of God in their lives prove a failure. In every sermon, let a little corner be left for children. In his charge to Peter, the Savior first bade him, "Feed my lambs," and afterward commanded, "Feed my sheep." In addressing the apostle, Christ says to all his servants, "Feed my lambs." When Jesus admonished his disciples not to despise the little ones, he addressed all disciples in all ages. His own love and care for children is a precious example for his followers. If teachers in the Sabbath school felt the love which they should feel for these lambs of the flock, many more would be won to the fold of Christ. At every suitable opportunity, let the story of Jesus' love be repeated to the children. In every sermon, let a little corner be left for their benefit. The servant of Christ may have lasting friends in these little ones, and his words may be to them as apples of gold in pictures of silver. Children should be in attendance at Sabbath worship. Fathers and mothers should make it a rule that their children attend public worship on the Sabbath, and should enforce the rule by their own example. It is our duty to command our children and our household after us, as did Abraham. By example as well as precept, we should impress upon them the importance of religious teaching. All who have taken the baptismal vow have solemnly consecrated themselves to the service of God. They are under covenant obligation to place themselves and their children where they may obtain all possible incentives and encouragement in the Christian life. Pastor Parent Team. Parents criticize the minister for their own neglect. Your sons and daughters are corrupted by your own example and lax precepts, and, Notwithstanding this lack of domestic training, you expect the minister to counteract your daily work and accomplish the wonderful achievement of training their hearts and lives to virtue and piety. After the minister has done all he can do for the church by faithful, affectionate admonition, patient discipline, and fervent prayer to reclaim and save the soul, yet is not successful, the fathers and mothers often blame him because their children are not converted, when it may be because of their own neglect. The burden rests with the parents, and will they take up the work that God has entrusted to them and with fidelity perform it? Will they move onward and upward, working in a humble, patient, persevering way to reach the exalted standard themselves and to bring their children up with them? Pastors need the help of parents in converting the youth. Many seem to think that the declension in the church, the growing love of pleasure, is due to want of pastoral work. True, the church is to be provided with faithful guides and pastors. Ministers should labor earnestly for the youth who have not given themselves to Christ, and also for others who, though their names are on the church roll, are irreligious and Christless. But ministers may do their work faithfully and well, yet it will amount to very little if parents neglect their work. It is to a lack of Christianity in the home life that the lack of power in the church is due. Until parents take up their work as they should, it will be difficult to arouse the youth to a sense of their duty. If religion reigns in the home, it will be brought into the church. The parents who do their work for God are a power for good. As they restrain and encourage their children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they bless the neighborhood in which they live. And the church is strengthened by their faithful work. Some parents are active in Christian work outside the home while their own children are strangers to the Savior. There are fathers and mothers who long to labor in some foreign mission field. There are many who are active in Christian work outside the home, while their own children are strangers to the Savior and His love. The work of winning their children for Christ many parents trust to the minister or the Sabbath school teacher, but in doing this they are neglecting their own God-given responsibility. The education and training of their children to be Christians is the highest service that parents can render to God. It is a work that demands patient labor, a lifelong diligent and persevering effort. By a neglect of this trust we prove ourselves unfaithful stewards. No excuse for such neglect will be accepted by God. Ministers and members should second the efforts of parents. Let the church take a special care of the lambs of the flock, exerting every influence in their power to win the love of the children and to bind them to the truth. Ministers and church members should second the efforts of parents to lead the children into safe paths. The Lord is calling for the youth, for He would make them His helpers to do good service under His banner. Successful parents should minister to other youth in the church. Christians take a heartfelt interest in the children that are about them, who, through the subtle temptations of the enemy, are ready to perish. Fathers and mothers, if you have guarded your own children from the wiles of the foe, look about you to save the souls of the children who have not such care. Train to serve. Youth, rightly instructed, will be earnest workers for the Master. Young men and women should be educated for service in the cause of God. The Lord chooses the young because they are strong in body and vigorous in mind, and if the youth are rightly instructed, they will be earnest workers for the Master. God will be the counselor of the young if they put their trust in Him. He will accept them and exalt them to be co-laborers with Himself, if they will yield themselves in submission to His will. Ministers or older members cannot have one half the influence over young people as do other youth. Young friends, if you take hold of the work right where you are at the present time, doing what you can, be sure that you will have the help of Jesus. Begin the work by laboring for your companions. Ministers or church members advanced in years cannot have one half the influence over your young associates that you are capable of exerting, and you ought to feel that a responsibility rests upon you to do all you can for their salvation. When young people work for the church, a door is closed against temptation. Why do not the overseers of the church have councils to devise ways whereby young men and women may be trained to put to use their entrusted talents? Why do not the older members of the church seek to do good, earnest, compassionate work for the children and youth? Many have embraced the truth, and yet they have not been educated as to how they may serve the cause of God, and thereby grow in spiritual muscle and sinew. By employing the faculties of the mind and body of our youth in the service of God, a door is closed against the temptations of the enemy, and Satan has not as favorable an opportunity for training the children and youth for his service. Children's Sabbath School. Teachers in children's Sabbath schools need aptitude, will, and perseverance in prayer. In some Sabbath schools, positions are given to persons who have no aptitude to teach. They have no earnest love for souls. They do not half understand the practical bearings of the truth themselves. How, then, can they lead the children and youth to the living fountain? Let the teachers themselves drink deep of the water of salvation, and the angels of God will minister to them, and they will know just what course the Lord would have them take to win the precious youth to Jesus. It requires aptitude, a will, perseverance, a spirit such as Jacob had when he wrestled in prayer, and exclaimed, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." When the blessing of God rests upon the teachers, it can but be reflected to those under their charge. Never place the youth under individuals who are spiritually indolent, who have no high, elevated, holy aspirations, for the same mind of indifference, Pharisaism, of form without the power, will be seen in both teachers and scholars. Ministers should be able to speak interestingly and understandably to Sabbath school children. There was a general superintendent of Sabbath schools who, while addressing a Sabbath school upon one occasion, was very dry, lengthy, and uninteresting. A mother asked her daughter of 10 years if she enjoyed the exercise, and also, what did the minister say? Said the little girl, "He said, and he said, and he said, and he didn't say anything." Now, we do not want any such account of our labor as that. We want the very best of training for the work that we can possibly have ourselves, so that we can make a success in teaching others the things that we have learned. Too many children trained in the scriptures at Sabbath school still have no interest in religion. Many of the children of believing parents, children who have been trained in the Sabbath school and are familiar with the scriptures, have yet no interest in religion. Under the most powerful appeals of the Holy Spirit, they seem as unmoved as if chiseled out of stone. What can be done to break the spell which Satan has cast upon these souls? I can see no help, except as parents shall present their children at the throne of grace, in humble, earnest, believing prayer, entreating the Lord to work with their efforts and the efforts of their ministers, until conviction and conversion shall be the result. Children's Sabbath School should not replace their attending the worship service. The Sabbath School at underscore was made the one great theme of interest with Brother Ree. It absorbed the minds of the young, while other religious duties were neglected. Frequently, after the Sabbath School was closed, the superintendent, a number of teachers, and quite a number of scholars, would return home to rest. They felt that their burden for the day was ended, and that they had no further duty. When the bell sounded forth the hour for public service, and the people left their homes for the house of worship, they would meet a large portion of the school passing to their homes. And, however important the meeting, the interest of a large share of the Sabbath school could not be awakened to take any pleasure in the instruction given by the minister upon important Bible subjects. While many of the children did not attend public service, some that remain were not advantaged by the word spoken, for they felt that it was a wearisome tax.